Earth and Sky.
Although I'm an enormous fan of nanotechnology, I would say that it is only one component from many areas of science that are helping us to understand what it is to be alive, what it is to think, how we interact with the planet, how the planet interacts with us.
You're listening to George Whitesides of Harvard, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Whitesides is a chemist and a leading expert in nanotechnology, the manipulation of matter at the scale of atoms and molecules. He spoke with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar about the impact of nanotechnology on agriculture, medical diagnostics, sustainability, and more.
Dr. Whitesides, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Would you speak to how nanotech can improve the lot of farmers and people who depend on them?
Much of biology depends upon being able to manipulate cells, because cells, biological cells, are the fundamental objects of which life is built. And of course, plants are large collections of cells. So if you'd like to manipulate plants, an approach to manipulating plants is to manipulate the genetic material that describes them to themselves and also manipulate their cells. And the size of a cell is a few microns. That means in the order perhaps of a hundredth the diameter of a hair. And a cell is not an empty bag filled with just a strand or two of other molecules, but a very, very crowded environment with many complicated molecular machines, that is, collections of molecules that perform the business of the cell. And these molecular machines, the nucleus, the ribosomes, the Golgi, all the other pieces that are there, have dimensions that are in the order of nanometer in size. So if you want to work with agriculture, with cells, or in fact with much of anything else in cell biology, you need to have tools for manipulating these submicron or nanometer scale objects that populate the cell. And so what nanotechnology and biology together bring is new tools for manipulating the nature of the cell and for understanding the nature of the cell. It's a very, very broad definition. It's not specific in any way to agriculture, but it certainly is important for agriculture.
Yeah, well, could you speak more to this relation of people and scientists to the world in which we live and the idea of sustainability, which has become more and more recognized as a guiding principle by scientists working to improve agriculture?
In talking about sustainability, let's start by asking what sustainability is. And in fact, there's no single definition of the word, but part of the idea is that something that is sustainable, a sustainable process, a sustainable cycle in the economy, is one that can be kept going, one hopes, indefinitely. So unlike, we'll say, mining, where you dig something out of the ground and eventually you dig it all out and then you have to do something else, a sustainable process would be one which continues to run based on one of the things that's continuously available, which turns out to be fundamentally sunlight. Since the only thing that we can probably count on indefinitely is energy from the sun, that requires moving through sun-based systems. By an enormous extent, the largest harvester of sunlight on the planet is plants. So plants are what is in between us, basically, and the energy of the sun. They suck up the energy, they convert it into fixed carbon and plant tissue, and then various things happen as a consequence. And the opportunity with nanotechnology and biotechnology and biology is to focus some of the enormous energy that has gone into applied biology to thinking about plants. So the opportunity is to understand that plants are a key part in any scheme for sustainability, and that in working with plants, one has to work in some cases with small dimensions, which means nanotechnology.
Now, I'd like to maybe talk about a recent application of nanotechnology in what's described as lab on a chip, or being able to create a tiny postage-sized laboratory using paper and nanotechnology. And this was developed by your laboratories.
Our interest in using paper-based systems for diagnostics is based on a deep interest we have in trying to learn how to apply first-world technology to problems in the developing world. And our interest in that problem is based partially on ethics and partially on a series of practicalities that have to do with the fact that to the extent that there are regions of the world which are severely shortchanged in terms of health and nutrition and education, the overall world is less stable. We will be in a more secure world if everyone shares the benefits of the first world. But the problems of thinking about healthcare in the developing world are made difficult by the fact that many of the environmental characteristics, that is, the availability of power and light and clean water and refrigeration, characteristics that we take for granted in the first world simply are missing in the third world, and also there isn't much money. So we are developing a series of technologies that have the characteristic that they try to provide high performance, specifically in diagnostics, at very low cost by starting with the least expensive materials that we can find. And one of these very versatile, very inexpensive materials is paper. So what we do is to combine ideas from paper science with ideas from microelectronics and microfluidics, that is making very small structures, to build chips, as you put it, things about the size of a postage stamp that enable relatively simple at this point, but nonetheless useful, kinds of diagnostic tests to be performed.
Dr. Whitesides, thanks very much for taking this time out today. I appreciate it. What's the most important thing that you want the public to know about nanotechnology?
Nanotechnology is everywhere. And when one thinks particularly now about matters of energy, climate, conservation, this is one of the technologies that ties all of the pieces together.
You've been listening to chemist and inventor George Whitesides of Harvard. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. This has been Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.